Tuesday on Daily Delivery. Michael Rand here. Patrick Royce joins me this morning, a day later than usual. Had a longer weekend this morning, or a longer weekend today, this weekend, Patrick. But hope you guys are doing well out there. And Patrick, how are you?
I'm just fine. I'm just fine. And Easter Monday used to be a lot more of a work day off for people than it was with all the high school kids and the grade school kids having spring breaks now instead
yes.
of spring break. Used to be you were off Thursday, Friday, and then you were off Easter Monday. But that doesn't work that way anymore. Easter Monday is full bore for I ran into some traffic on Easter Monday yesterday, as a matter of fact. So anyway.
Yes, it is. Our kids have their spring break this week, and we had birthdays this weekend, so we took a day off.
All right. Well, we got to see some hoops last night. We got to see Caitlin Clark like we didn't get to see her during the Big Ten tournament here. And she started 0 for 11 from threes one game, and like 1 for 10 or something in the championship game. She didn't shoot it well until she won the game for him at the end and against Nebraska. But, she's entitled to have a little, I'd call it a slump, the way she was shooting the ball. And she looked hurried when she was here. The extra defensive help they were giving her. But and she wasn't really great last weekend when they got to play in Iowa City. She got the points, but it wasn't like she was lighting it up. But last night, that was Caitlin from outer space. Last night, she was. That's the time I went to see her was after she shot the ball at Michigan that way.
Yes.
She was making like all these 30 to 32 footers. And that's what intrigued me. And last night, man, she had the quick trigger. But the thing about her is, people, when you get that popular and famous and people start looking for warts, so to speak. And, the fact of the matter is she's a great passer. She sees the court fantastic. She sets assist records as well. And, if it was, I can guarantee you Pete Maravich never set any assist records unless they gave it to him when he threw the ball to himself. But they showed some great breakdown after the game. That one, they showed a play when three, it's kind of, she's in the open court. She sees it in the open court so well. And three LSU players all of a sudden are running at her. She just flips it over there for a layup for one of her teammates.
Right.
And she's not, she's got a couple of good players. I like the Gabby, Marshall, and then Martin's a really
Martin
good
was
player.
Really good last night.
She's a sixth-year senior, but they don't have any size. And then the kid, the center that replaced Zanano, she's a good athlete, but she always gets in foul trouble, and she's not a finisher like Zanano was last year. I don't think this – I'll continue to say it. I didn't think they were getting back to the Final Four, but then LSU is not as good as they were last year.
No.
They didn't have anybody could shoot it, and last year they did. But it was you know what LSU didn't. Why didn't last year their thing was to take the lane away from her completely and let her try to beat them with nothing but threes, which you might have done last night, but they didn't stop her at all, and they had some 5'7", 5'6" guard trying to guard her. She got no chance, but
no.
It was pretty good, and the phenomenon will get bigger than ever. And Friday night, they make him turn around and play Friday, which is weird, but her and Paige Becker's going at it on Friday night, and Paige is really playing great too, and she was great last night. They were what, tied at halftime or
I think it was tied at halftime.
I didn't see much of it, and then I think they were down a little. Southern Cal came back and tied them 69-69 or something.
Yeah, it was 59-59,
like
they,
59-59. It looked like they had the momentum going, and then Paige played great and blocked shots and did everything. So she's back and healthy. That'll be a great matchup. The Star Trombone might have to look into his budget and send somebody to cover that one.
I know. I think there's been discussions at the very least, but I, you know, looking at those two games last night, I mean, that was not just appointment viewing, but, you know, just watching social media during those games. It was, everything was women's basketball talk last night on social media. Everybody was into those games. NBA players chiming in, everybody, like, it was just, that was the appointment viewing. And I know there's probably been instances of that in the past, but that was what that's what stood out to me last night. And then when you get the matchup, you wind up getting UConn versus Iowa. Now everybody is locked in on that. Like, was that, that's a Friday night game, right? Friday night, like, that's going to break records. That is going to be the most watched women's basketball game in history. That is going
to be close to the most watched men's, but I do find it humorous, though, that somehow this validates the entire women's tournament when the first round was 31-1 with the higher seeds because they let them play at their own court, which is one of the problems. But, you know, when you get to this point, when you got the eight best teams, because generally speaking, you get the eight best teams because there aren't any upsets.
Right.
And you know, you're getting now, but, you know, you can flip on a women's basketball game and in the NCAA tournament and it can be god awful. So it's not like this. It's not like this is the norm. Okay. And there's horrible, just like there's horrible men's games. There's a lot of horrible women's games, but you got what you want. You got, you know, Caitlin Clark is a phenomenon of our sports lives, and I've had a long sports life, and this is amazing. And it's you know, she's a feisty athlete. She's not a huge personality. I mean, she's trying, she's doing good, but she's, you know, she's just a great athlete. And it's not, now she's out there selling herself, but, you know, if she does her State Farm ad, she's got the timing of me that I'd have on there. She's terrible. But they don't care because it's Caitlin, and it is amazing, to say the least. And, you know, people talk about Angel Reese, or, you know, the kid from LSU, and, well, she's a completely different player, and she's an inside player, and you know what attracts you to Caitlin Clark are the 32 footers.
Right.
You know, and then you start watching the rest of the game. But the fact she's shooting the ball from Steph Curry land, and if you're on the right night, which was last night, you get to see her make them, and you're stunned. And it's, you know, that's been going on for at least 3 years now. So it is built up, and it's, you know, and it's, let's face it, it starts with Iowa filling up their arena too, and you know, people seeing that much excitement, and you know, the Iwegians got nothing else to do, so they're gonna become Caitlin fanatics. But yeah, I mean, I think she's great, and Paige is, considering what she's come through, and considering this UConn team's got five players that aren't playing.
She dragged them to this Final Four. I mean, she was exceptional in those regional, those two regional games.
We gotta remember that as a freshman, she was the national player of the year.
She was gonna be Caitlin Clark. She was getting.
She's not a bomber, though.
No, not the type of player. The type of attention.
Not,
I mean,
not the same type of player, but a great player. It's really a great player, and she's already said she's coming back. So
yes,
I kind of like. I don't know enough about UConn, but Iowa. That was game A for Iowa last night.
Yeah.
Are they gonna do that again? I mean, Caitlin can come out and go 0-for-11. We've seen it. So
right.
And then there's the perception when people are covering it, when they watch something like this, that's a nightly occurrence. And it's not.
Right.
You know, it's like every other 3-point shooter in the history of mankind. Sometimes they go in and for her, more often than not, they go in, but she's had, we saw two clunkers here couple of weeks ago or so.
Yes, I saw it. That was the game I was at, the 0 for 11 start, and it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like we were there. I was talking to our sports editor Chris Carr, and he was trying to gauge with me. He was saying, you know, is there any basketball player previous to Caitlin Clark that you can explain, like can you compare this phenomenon of Caitlin Clark to? And I really couldn't. The weirdest thing was watching her play live for the first time. The first athlete that came to my head as someone else that I've seen live, and this was the weird, I don't know why it came into my head, maybe it was the Iowa connection, but the first athlete that came into my head was Kale Sanderson, the wrestler from Iowa State, where you just watched him. He went 159-0 in college. This was 20 years ago, but every time he was out there, you knew he was the best, and you knew that he was going to do something. Like it just wasn't a fair fight because he was just that much better than everybody else. And that's how I felt watching her. She's playing a different game a lot of times.
Yeah, she is. But again, when the shots go in,
Yes,
you know,
yes.
when the shots don't go in,
But she's
she's
more than just
human.
the shots. But yes, she's
No, she
human, but she's
is.
still
But
a
I'm
great player.
saying that, you know, that the shots are what
Yes.
the separates her from everybody else.
Yes.
But, you know, shooting that many threes. But she also setting records for assists.
Right.
And she gets a steal once in a while. And they need her to be better defensively than they are did last year because they don't have any size at all. She's got to go in and get a rebound once in a while too. But yeah, she's great. And I don't know. You gotta when you're evaluating her, if you've seen anything like it, you gotta where she's brought this from is what you
Yes,
gotta
right.
realize. Is that, you know, it's like, you know, women's basketball was, you know. People wanted you to feel guilty for not watching it. Okay. You
Right.
know, hey, it's, you know, and now you want to watch it.
Right.
I taped it before I left here. I had to go someplace.
So yeah,
We did.
you recorded the game. I recorded the game too. I mean, it was appointment viewing, and it was kind of those rare nights too, where everybody wanted it to be special, and it was. And now you get this matchup in the Final Four that, again, like we said, I think it's gonna set records. It's gonna be pretty amazing. And you know, the thing was too, like you saw with the star power on display in that game. Everybody knew the best player on every team, right? Like everybody who was watching, you knew the best player on every team. And maybe that, you know, it kind of stands in contrast to the men's game right now. Not that you have to compare the two, but like I probably know more of the best players in women's basketball right now than I do the men's game, even though that tournament's been pretty good too.
That's true. I mean, I was looking up the NC State team. That you know, that I'm going to write something about them for tomorrow or the NC State's history. They got six transfers, the top six players. You know, how could you associate with them? And even UConn doesn't have the same team they had last year. You know,
No.
that's winning the. They got a whole raft of new players, and they got a couple of transfers, So it, yeah, I mean, it's when you got players staying at the same school for 4 years who are great, it's you know, it's a little easier to identify. And let's face it, it's easier to dominate too, I think, if you're a great player in you know, women's basketball, and you're gonna it's easier to dominate. And you know, Caitlin can certainly do that, and Paige in a different sort of way does too. Paige Becker's just great last night. So yeah, it's a matchup made in heaven for ESPN and women's basketball and the ratings. I wonder if that game will have a higher rating than the men's national championship game. I
That'd
bet
be
it will.
interesting. Yeah, it very well
I bet it
could.
will.
It very
Yeah.
well could.
Because ratings for the NCAA have been slipping too, you
Yeah.
know, through the years. They not as many people watch for good reason. You know, hey, remember when Michael Jordan played 3 years in North Carolina? No, you know, yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. And
No.
also, what if you're a Minnesota basketball fan,
I was just
right?
gonna say that. Like,
You're a
how's Ben
Minnesota
Johnson feel right now?
basketball fan. Yeah, you're a Minnesota basketball fan, and oh boy, I want to sit and watch this men's game. And we just had five guys leave.
Yeah,
And,
for no
you
good. Yeah.
know, Farrell Payne 2 weeks after he's quoted to say, boy, I can't wait to get to see this whole team back together. and he leaves. And it's almost like, okay, maybe people are calling him up and making him offers already, or is he just figuring, you know, they made their best offer from Dinky Town and it wasn't enough, so he's going to go someplace else? It's unbelievable. And, you know, the men's game is, let's put it this way. The women's game has never been better, and the men's game has never been worse.
Yeah, so, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
I'm writing something about 83. That was there. I was in Albuquerque for that game. That was unbelievable. You know, that you had Houston and Louisville, and then you had NC State win two nights later, and in a basket, in the pit. Ooh, in the pit in Albuquerque. It was fantastic. I was looking it up. I covered eight straight. I covered about 13 or 14 Final Fours, not counting the ones here. But I covered 81 to 88. They were all great.
Yeah, you know, that was kind of a heyday.
And they all had the same players, you know. So, it's definitely a phenomenon. It's great. I think it's, you know, it's fantastic. So, you know, I still Southern Cash, South Carolina probably beat whoever wins, you know,
because they'll
go out and beat you up, man. They got some athletes. They, you know, we had them here when they won their first one.
That's right.
And the way, you know, that was, you know, Paige was back and she was healthy. And that little guard that ended up in there, what was her name? 5'3" guard. Poor Paige's lunch that night.
That was a great. Yeah, I remember that.
She was a fantastic player, but that was a different form of hard nosed basketball, and they're still playing that. So, yeah, it'll be great. The Final Four out there.
MGM Wine and Spirits is the choice for savings, service, and a great selection of spirits, pre-mixed cocktails, wines, and of course, ice cold beers and hard seltzers. With over 30 locations throughout the Twin Cities and beyond, there's an MGM near you. Head to mgmwineandspirits.com to find a convenient location in your area. Get social. Follow MGM on Facebook and Instagram for all the latest news and trends. Make great moments with MGM Wine and Spirits, your locally owned and operated choice for over 50 years. Save time, save money. Shop MGM.
We haven't talked, Patrick. It was like right after, I feel like, last week that it was like Thursday last week, I think, that all the Timberwolves ownership stuff became very public. The Glenn Taylor putting out the statement, the Timberwolves and Lynx are not for sale. Both sides have talked a lot to the media since then. You had one of, if not the first interviews with Glenn Taylor, the owner still of the Timberwolves, and the Star Tribune. Our Chris Hine has talked to A-Rod and Mark Lowry since then. What is your take on everything that's going on right now with this dispute and where things stand right now? Because it got ugly. It's getting ugly, at least contentious.
I gotta say that I you know, I only talked to Glenn for a few minutes the day he announced that because I was catching up to him, but I had that long interview with him from
February,
Naples,
in Florida,
which had gave me no indication that this was a plan. It did give me an indication of frustration with how many hoops they were jumping through to try to get it. And by coincidence, as you saw in my column, the morning I was there, or the day I was there, that morning he was getting off a call with Lori, who was trying to get money out of him, who was trying to see if he wanted to invest in one of Lori's companies. So so there was no sign of this kind of discord. But my theory is, after this all broke loose, because Glenn was perfectly willing to let the statement stand, wasn't he? And then answer questions, because he always answers questions. Mm-hmm. But I got to think that the NBA did not like the fellas making the rounds and badmouthing and making this thing, inflaming this thing greatly, A-Rod and Lori, because A-Rod wasn't on the game Sunday. Now, I don't know if A-Rod had baseball obligations, or maybe he's still doing some. He's not on ESPN, thank God. He sucked. But you know, maybe he had some other duties. It might not be that he's staying away from the stadium, but I for staying away from the arena. But I have the impression that I mean, not the impression. I have the guess.
Yes.
That Adam Silver might have got on the phone or one of his guys and said, "All right, cool this down, and we'll let
let the mediator figure this out."
Well, I don't even know that. You still, it's still sports where it's up to the NBA, basically, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the NBA can. You keep talking about mediation and arbitration and all that stuff. Well, you also got the NBA saying, "Give us the facts, and we'll make our decision here." Because you still got to get approval, so it's a different kind of world. I don't think it's just now the NBA might say you guys work it out among yourselves too, but I don't see the NBA being there. They're always proactive on stuff like this, and Silver's a smart guy too.
Oh yeah.
I got a hunch that all of a sudden, Lori and A-Rod were running everywhere they could. Was it on Friday, badmouthing?
Friday, Glenn? I think so, yeah. Thursday.
Everybody had access to them, podcasts and everything else. And then over the weekend, it kind of cooled down. And I'll give Glenn and his bride credit. They showed up an hour before the game and sat in their seats like they always do. So even though he was certainly losing the early PR battle, at least on social media, that's for sure. So we'll see how this comes out. But
it is something else. The thing that strikes me is you don't see this level of public discord these days. People are very measured with what they say these days. And this got emotional quick, especially with A-Rod and Lori and some of the things they were saying. It was interesting to hear that.
Most interesting thing I found out, though, and I don't think any of us knew, that when they said Lori and A-Rod were looking for money, it was A-Rod looking for money.
Yes. Yeah.
Lori already had put his half in. Half of the, 72% or whatever they were going to buy, 70%, because Glenn was going to keep 20. And
he's got limited partners for some. Right?
And then limited partners. So, but Lori, because during this whole process, you're thinking, doesn't Lori have the money? They're supposed to be a billionaire.
Right.
Yes, he did. But A-Rod's the guy going to Carlisle and everybody else trying to get the money. Now, the New York Post, and then this David Sampson guy, who's the Miami, he used to be the president of Miami, and he's supposed to be kind of a jerk. But he's a big business guy, and he's on the Levitard show all the time, right? He said that A-Rod, I think it was him that said it. I don't think it was the Post. The Post has been great on this because they had two people who covered A-Rod and J-Lo. Had a beat.
Right.
It was a beat for the backstage. But he said that when A-Rod was out looking for money, from investors, it was as if there was a $2 billion price tag on the team instead of a 1.5.
Right.
That he was trying to get a premium from the investors, which would maybe that's what Glenn found out and he got mad and said, okay, I don't have any idea, but
who knows?
But I would more than guess that the NBA called up those two guys and told them to cool it. Glenn was not going to badmouth him until they started badmouthing him, right?
So, seemed like it. He was just like, "Yeah, this is business, fellas. Let's see what happens."
Yeah, and he said that they didn't complete it. So that's there'll be I don't know what happens next, or if it's the NBA or if it's arbitrators or if they just argue about it a little longer, but. Here's what we found out, though. People said, the one thing about Lori's whole quote about putting the fans through this and the team through this and all this. The players don't give a damn.
No, they don't.
The distraction for the players is, in premium athletes, if somebody else is making more NIL money than they are, that's what the distraction. Right. It's not, we always talk about distractions. It's a great angle. I've been in the sports writing business for half a century, and we've always talked about distractions.
Yeah.
And maybe there used to be distractions.
Right.
There's not distracted. They don't care.
They don't
anymore,
care. Sign the checks. Whoever's the check clear. It's we're all
and
good
gonna,
then. It's all
when
fine.
When the game starts, I'm going to be, I'm going to be the best I can be, generally speaking. Some nights not, yeah. But most nights I'm going to. So
now it didn't help that they lost their first home game afterwards. Now, they won their first game. Like they went and beat Denver pretty soundly that first game,
yes.
But then they lose to Chicago the other night, and people. Even if this isn't a distraction or whatever we want to call it, people will, if they don't have the playoff success everybody wants them to have, say they lose, let's say they lose in the first round or even the second round. I mean, second round wouldn't be a...
There's a fighting chance you could lose. They're going to play somebody good.
Everybody's good in this.
You.
Yes, everybody's good.
Yeah. I mean, you might end up with the Suns.
Yes.
You know, the Vegas, the Suns will be favored.
Yeah,
you know?
It's going to be a tough first round matchup, no matter what.
I mean, it's... and Ant has stop making his shots for him.
Right.
You know, he'll start making them again. But they got a tough one tonight. Houston's won 11 out of 12.
Right. That could if everything breaks, that could be a first round opponent. If you end up with the one seed, they could be the eight with the way they're playing right now. So
they could end up playing out of the they were supposed to be a tanker early this year. Now they're playing great.
Yeah,
so,
they're up and
yeah
comer.
But it's you're right. The people will grab the
people will say
popular narrative, even if it's a bunch of crap. So
yeah,
which it would be. So
yeah,
you're gonna lose if you lose in the first round. It's gonna be because you lost to a good team.
Royal Credit Union Smart Checking accounts offer no monthly fees and no minimum balance. Enjoy financial freedom when you open your Royal Credit Union Smart Checking account online at rcu.org/gochecking. Insured by NCUA.
Twins obviously opened their season. We got the home opener Thursday. Weird series against Kansas City, right? The first two games are kind of paint-by-numbers wins. I mean, they lost Royce Lewis. That's obviously a huge blow. He's going to be out probably till May, early June, you think? It's a pretty bad deal.
Yeah, I mean, they finally said it's a severe calf strain. And I'm blaming the bigger bases, by the way.
Are you?
I thought he caught his foot on the bigger base there, but maybe I'm wrong. And they didn't hit really down there at all.
No.
I mean, they had the one big inning.
The big rally in the ninth.
On Saturday to win the game, But Buxton, played. They gave him Sunday off, but he hit two doubles on Saturday, and he looks like he might be playing. Who would have guessed Buck would have lasted longer than Rice Lewis?
Right.
But I don't know. That was very remindful of Josh Donaldson's. Josh Donaldson looks great this spring. Here we go, and he hits a double, and he doesn't make it past second base with the Brewers years ago. So not that long ago, but. I don't know. I still have big, big concerns about the pitching, and
me
I
too.
Got more than ever after Bailey Ober threw batting practice.
Yeah,
my God, it was awful. There was nothing on his pitches. It wasn't command. There was nothing. There was no life on any of his pitches.
No,
and that's about 2 seconds after Morty. I love Morno. Morno says. I think Justin Bailey's one of the most underrated starters in the American League. you give Corey Provis about a month to get his wit going on and get it loose like he was on the radio, and he'd probably say, about 10 minutes later, he said, "You still got that opinion?"
Yeah.
He said, "Would you like to modify that?"
Right.
You're on Bally, so you can't be candid.
BSN
doesn't allow candor, so...
So we got Milwaukee next couple, and then
Milwaukee got off to a nice start. They swept the Brewers, swept the Mets, right? The Mets. They're unbeaten, right? 3-0.
I think so. They're pretty good.
Yeah. Well, they're not supposed to be because they let Corbin Burns go and Woodruff can't pitch. But they've been becoming sort of a mini version of the Tampa Bay Rays over there. Not much payroll, but they always figure out how to hang in there. So, and usually with good pitching. So, anyway.
And we couldn't get Couldn't get a Minnesota team to the Frozen Four, Patrick.
Yeah, that's too bad.
That's too bad. It would have been nice to have somebody here.
Well, we didn't have that many in the tournament, right? The Gophers were the only one in the tournament.
I think they were the only one in the tournament. They were their only hope.
None of the Bemidji got beat in the finals of that league. I was reading something about how the hockey powerhouses now, the big programs are stealing like crazy from the CCHA, and they're doing NIL stuff too, you know, to steal the. They're going to turn the CCHA and, these other leagues into the, the minor leagues, because, I mean, the CCHA has been okay, and they had Mankato, but, they're kind of raiding everybody, so, and these leagues. But we got four of the Blue Bloods here.
Yes.
But it's good for St. Paul because we'll have a lot of visitors, right?
Should be decent that with the Boston schools, the Michigan, Denver. Boston.
Yeah, you got both Boston's, and they're probably favored to play each other in the final. But Michigan's great. I mean, very good. And
Denver's really good this year, too.
Denver's really good. Denver's probably been the best program in the country the last 10 years or so.
On par, consistently great.
Yeah, they have. But it's that kind of takes the fun out of it, that you don't have any local angle at all. So they got off to a 2-0 start in Sioux Falls, too, and then they ended up it was 4-3, and then they gave up two empty netters. But
and they had the bad goal at the end of the first period that kind of turned the momentum around.
Yeah, well, it's as I said though, Boston U and Boston BC might be in the finals, but they didn't win the bean pot this year. So what difference is it? Northeastern won the bean pot. Oh, that's what counts.
That's what counts up there, right? Up there. Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be a fun. It's fun this time of year. I mean, a home opener should be good, even though coming off that clunker the other day, that 11-0 game. But we'll see what they do against the Brewers, the Twins, and we'll see.
It is funny how much emphasis we put on a single game early in the year.
Yes,
and then they all get lost in the maze.
Oh yeah,
And it's like once in a while you'll remember a stinker or a great comeback, but they're all they come at you six a week. It's a little hard to keep track of.
Yes, it is. All right, Patrick. Well, I appreciate it. We'll catch up again next week with plenty more to talk about.
All right. Thanks, Mike.